I'd like to ask you to turn to Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 65. Now, in your Bible reading, if you read the Bible through once a year, at some point you have to read Isaiah. He was one of the Old Testament prophets, one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. He was a prophet approximately the same time that Jeremiah was. And Isaiah had some interesting things. He was not the suffering prophet that Jeremiah was. Isaiah had a lot to say, and I think Israel listened to Isaiah a little bit better than they did. As we read through the Bible, there are passages that are hard to understand and to put in context. And there are passages that refer to special blessings that God is going to provide for his servants. Just who are God's servants? Well, God's servants are the people that God has called out of the world. Look around. Everybody's a servant of God. He has called you out of the world. He has said he doesn't want you in the world. He wants you in his kingdom. You are his children. And he has a job for you to do. And he expects you to do it like a parent. If you don't, he may have to spank you. And you don't want to be spanked by God. He's bigger than you are. A lot bigger than you are. I sometimes wonder why a person who knows about God would turn away from him and his love and provision and seek a place in the world that would alienate them from God. And yet as we meet together here tonight, as we look at our nation, as we look at the world, the majority of people do not know who Jesus Christ is. Many people have never heard his name. Never heard his name. And so that's part of what Lee is trying to do there in Peru, is reach out to the deaf. And is it in Peru, is it like it is in Mexico, that they are ashamed of their deaf people? Okay. People get strange ideas. They think that somebody, if they're born with a handicap, such as being deaf, they think that they, either their parents committed some kind of a sin, or they are inferior, and they tend to hide them. They don't want people to talk to them. And so the deaf are special people that need ministry. They need hope. And that's what we can give them in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Isaiah is talking here in Isaiah, the 65th chapter, about how wonderful a God we know and serve. And he is. We serve a great God. There is no other God like him. There is nothing to compare with him. He is God. He is the creator of the universe. He can snap his fingers, and all of nature will obey. And it is so difficult for us to comprehend who God is because he is so great and so large. Look at verses 13 through 14 in Isaiah 65. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, my servant shall eat." Now he's talking to the world. And when in these statements that he's making right now, I want you to notice what he is saying. In verse 13, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart and shall howl for vexation of spirit. What has the world got? Nothing. What have we got? Everything. Everything. God is going to provide for us what he will not provide for the world, because we are his children. Nothing but blessings for the servants of God. And remember, you are one. You am one. Okay. Detroit speech. Okay. You are the servant of God. Nothing but reproaches for the world. Nothing but blessings for the servants of God. Isaiah 65:15. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and he's still talking to the world, and call his servants by another name. Now, God fulfilled that verse. The time is coming when God shall slay the wicked. We know that. If you've read the book of Revelation, you know by the time you get to chapter 19, Jesus comes riding in on a white horse. We come in following him on horses. We're part of his army. But we don't have to fight. We watch. We watch. We watch Jesus destroy evil. We watch Jesus destroy the devil, the Antichrist, the beast. We watch him destroy them all. And we get the victory while we're watching. So it says that he is going to call his children by another name. You know what that name is? It's Christian. It's Christian. They are his children. The Christians are his children. No matter where you live in the world, no matter what language you might speak, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's there to receive you. And it doesn't matter what kind of language. There was a movement back in the 90s called the King James Only Movement. And some of it is still going on. There are still old-time pastors who say, if you're not saved by the King out of a King James Bible, you're not saved. What about the Spanish-speaking? What do you do with the German people or the French or the Ukrainian or the Arab? All of them. God is prepared to talk and receive all of them. He has given them his word in their language. And he has done that for one reason. He loves them. He loves them. And that's our job too. Part of our job is to love those around us. Now, Isaiah now explains for the reader how things will work in Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. If you want to be blessed in the earth, you need to be blessed in God. Not in stuff, not in things, not in material wealth, not in boats or cars or houses, but in him. Him who created all of this. So God will be the source of everything. He is the source of everything. And once the wicked ones are done away with, everything will be conducted at the pleasure of God. It's not that way right now. We've got enemies. We've got competition for the things that are. Curious about one thing. Did you have a toilet paper crisis in Peru? Oh, it was worldwide, folks. Who would have ever thought? God will be the source of everything once the wicked are gone. Now, these things will come to pass at the end of the age. And I believe we're getting very, very close to the end of the age. As I see things deteriorating around us, as I see the principles that made this country great, the principles that make it possible for a man to commune with God, as I see those things going away, I realize we've got to be getting close to the end. Now, God has plans. He's got plans for you. He's got plans for me. And he is perfectly willing to tell us what his plans are. That's why he gave us this book. And that's where we look to find out what his plans are. Some cases he gives more information than other cases. And in verses 17 through 25 of Isaiah 65, we're told about the same thing that John saw in the vision of the apocalypse in the book of Revelation. And we get some information from Revelation, but we get even more from Isaiah 750 years before John. Let me read a passage. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Last book of the Bible, just before the book of Concordance. And John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" And we're fairly familiar with that verse, those four verses. I'd like to share some of Isaiah with you. Isaiah 65, beginning at verse 17. See if this sounds familiar. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her peoples a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." Now, this is talking about exactly the same thing that John was talking about in the book of Revelation. But we get a lot more detail here about some of the things that we might be doing. God wants us to know. God wants us to have something to look forward to. God does not want us to be despair, to live in despair. He does not want us to be discouraged. He wants to encourage us. These two passages speak of exactly the same thing. Both prophecies, we are told about in both prophecies, we're told about a new heaven. We're told that the old earth and heaven will not be remembered anymore. That's why when you get to heaven, you won't be looking for mama or husband or anyone. You will be so happy to be with Jesus Christ. You won't have these memories. How can you have memories of people you loved who are not there and not be saddened? And there will be, that's one thing there'll be no place for in heaven. There'll be no place for sadness. Just joy. Just blessing. And God has said so. He wants us to know. Now, other things will be different. There won't be, ladies, there won't be any steakhouses. Do you realize that? There will not be a single steakhouse in heaven. Because we won't eat meat anymore. Nothing will eat something else. Heaven is going to be different. Everybody's going to eat plants. People are going to like broccoli. Even Brussels sprouts, you know. Spinach will be a delight. And you won't have to worry about mowing the front lawn. You'll eat the front lawn, okay? Now, I'm being facetious, but that's the truth. We will not be eating meat or other animals anymore, because there will be no more death there of any kind. And so that means that, you know, we all become vegetarians. We all become vegan. So eat all the meat you can while you're here, okay? There'll be a lot of different things. Mosquitoes won't bite. How about that? And deer flies won't bite. Bees and wasps won't sting. Ladies won't be afraid of bugs. I'm not quite sure about, you know, if there'll be any cockroaches and spiders there, but I do know we won't hear any screaming in heaven. Here's the thing that we must think about. We are to just, we're not going to just sit around and wait for things to come to pass. There's something that we should be doing while we are waiting for this event to occur. We all know the answer is that we should be busy for the Lord. And I think because time is so short, we need to be even busier than what we are right now. I think we need to be talking to people 24/7. And I'm so excited that there's a possibility we can get our sign up and operating within a fairly short period of time. I shared with the ladies today, the insurance company, we paid $18,000 for that sign out front. The insurance company got hit by lightning. The insurance company is sending us a check for a little over $20,000 to help with the replacement of that. We need about $13,000 to put up that new sign that can show pictures and do all the things that we feel like will make us more effective in reaching the 40,000 cars that pass here in the morning, the 40,000 at night. We can put an impression in their mind of a Bible verse, the truth from God's word. And we can do it in a pictorial form with the scriptures written across that, and it will make an impression through the eye gate. And it will be there. They may not realize it, but it can work. God has promised that his word will not return void. So the more word we put on that sign out there, the more we're going to touch people's hearts. the more the Holy Spirit will have to work with in their life. And so I'm excited. And even if as a church, the Lord takes us out of here, the sign's going to work till the electricity quits. We'll still have a ministry after we're gone. God is giving us some great opportunities. Now, we do all know that we're supposed to be witnessing, and we know we're supposed to be feeding the hungry. We know that we're supposed to be loving each other as Jesus loved us. And I believe that we're supposed to get our sign working so that we can reach more hearts and more lives in the time that God has given us. Now, there's just one place that we haven't talked much about. Can you guess where that place might be? Look straight down at your lap. You're looking past the place that might need attention. The place that we haven't talked about yet is our hearts. Our hearts. Because you see, if our hearts are not right, we're not going to be right. Some of you thought for a minute there I was talking about stomachs, didn't you? I wouldn't do that. We need to make sure that every day our heart is right with our Heavenly Father. Because we are not going to be able to accomplish or achieve what He has placed us here to do if our heart is not right. And we can talk about places all over the world. We can talk about here. We can talk about out there in the community. But it all begins in the middle of you with your heart. And we need to pray. That's why we have the prayer list out here, that we're going to try and get this praying going 24 hours a day. I know of a church that's doing that, and they are seeing fruit. I saw a couple more of you sign up tonight. I'm so grateful for that. Lee, what we're trying to do, we're trying to pray 24 around the clock for the church and for our nation, because our nation is failing. And we believe that if we will pray, God will answer that prayer. But our hearts have to be right. Now, let's take just a few minutes to look at the scripture and check out what God says about hearts, because He has a lot to say about hearts. We'll start with an admonition about people's hearts, and you find it in Matthew 15, verse 8. Matthew 15, verse 8. Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." It's not our words, folks. It's not what we say. It's what we're driven to do. This is one place we don't want our heart to be. We want our heart to be close to the Lord. Another verse that tells us the truth about our heart is a caution about where our hearts might be, and that's in Matthew 6:21. Matthew 6:21. And it says, this is one you all know or you're familiar with, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So folks, we want to put our treasure, we want to invest our treasure for the Lord. And if that's where our treasure is, if we have invested it for Him, that's where our heart will be. Absolutely true. When we combine these two scripture passages, we can see that there may need to be some changes. We might need to deal with something in our hearts. We might need to change something in our approach to service for the Lord. Now, Jesus gave us our marching orders in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Remember, he is our commander-in-chief. Matthew 22, 37 through 40 says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. You see what's going on around us? You see what's happening in our government? They are not loving people. They're not loving God. You're right, they're loving themselves. And because of that, they have gone away from God. God has no place in their life. And we need to make sure that God is in first place in our lives. And if we will do that, you will see fruit. You will see things happening around you. I've no doubt that all of you not only believe these verses that I've read, but actually practice what Jesus commanded. And if we could enter the new year with this purpose for our life, then our entire year might be completely different from what this year was. You see, the philosophy behind these commands will establish a purpose for us. And we need a purpose. We need to know what it is. We want to make sure we do these things in the year 2021. The thing that we have to do to begin with is we need to examine our hearts and see what we find in them. Now, you might not like it. You might not. But it can be changed. It can be changed as easy as a prayer. God, I surrender my heart to you. Take it. Use it. Make it what you need it to be. And that can change our whole philosophy for the year. It really can. One thing that I'm sure of is that you and I are going to say things and make conversation with other people in this year to come. Some of them might be brothers and sisters, but depending upon what's in our hearts, we may want to spend some time with the Lord, making sure that he gets what he wants. Luke 6:45 says, A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What will you be saying in this year to come? What will you be talking about? You know, we all know what eventually is going to happen, and we also all know where we're going to spend eternity. But we're not in eternity now. And we need to do what the Lord wants us to do right now. My prayer for our church and our church family is that we might glorify the Lord with everything that we do in 2021. Pray with me that this will be a spectacular year for the ministry of Coastal Shores Baptist Church, and that we will see many souls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But it will start with each of our hearts individually. It's going to take effort on your part, but God is going to supply what is needed to do what He wants for you. Father, thank you for giving us this evening together. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for letting the Johnsons get in here safely, and we pray for safety for them as well as health as they take Melanie back to Pensacola and as they prepare to go back to Peru. Father, we pray that you will give them open doors all the way. Thank you for what Lee shared with us tonight. Thank you for the years that he has ministered for you. Make us as faithful in our ministry for you here in this place. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.